Hey there everyone, welcome to the first episode of the podcast, Morning Commute with Moinak, where we speak and discuss on a wide variety of topics from life to travel to business, literally anything which can be explored, and also ravings and rantings at times for a quick dose of joy and laughter. Each episode brings you closer to something you might not have discovered yet. I hope this episode brings you closer to the current situation and also the future about the topic which we are going to discuss today. So let's dive in. Okay, so today's topic is going to be about the travel and tourism industry. So all of us like traveling. Yeah, who doesn't like traveling? So it doesn't matter if you're traveling by air or water or road. You just love, you know, the destination doesn't matter. You know, you enjoy the journey and the journey changes you. So there has been a question which has been surfacing on the internet for quite a time. And whenever I surf the net or open my phone to check on the news, this question always comes up and it just pops up on my screen, and I just wonder what could be the answer to this. And then I think that there are so many people out there who might not know what is going on, what is the current situation or what is the future about this industry, because this industry has suffered a huge setback due to the ongoing COVID-19 crisis. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, COVID-19 is a pandemic which is going on, and almost all the major countries in the world have been affected by this. So the most suffered industry right now to the COVID-19 pandemic is of course the travel and tourism industry, you know. And there are the total infections in the world today stand at, I guess, 10 million, and that's a huge number. Also the number of deaths is going on increasing. So today we're going to discuss about what the future holds for the travel and tourism industry. As all of you know who follow this subject or who like to research on this subject and who have been doing a research since the lockdown has taken place, you might know that all the major airlines in the world, like Qantas and Emirates, have already been throwing off thousands of jobs. It doesn't matter if it's a baggage handler who operates at the ground level, or the pilot who flies the plane, or the cabin crew, or the gate attendants, or the it's like whoever works at the airports have suffered due to this COVID-19 pandemic. And I don't know when everything is going to come back to normal and the flights are going to resume. It's very sad to see all the flights being grounded and the airports being empty. You know, you miss that hustle and bustle which you could see in the airport when you travel. Also, we're going to discuss today about the possible changes that are going to be implemented in the coming few years. A lot of research has been going on around the internet, and a lot of articles have surfaced which ask like this question which keeps on popping, is that will travel ever be the same again? So, or like, will travel how will the travel industry make a comeback? So I don't know if travel ever will be the same again, but today we're going to discuss about this. So as states and countries are starting to reopen, here are my thoughts or changes which might occur in the coming few days. Okay, so as we all know, tens of thousands of flights have been cancelled, borders have been closed, and at one point during the last 3 months, during which the lockdown was there in most of the countries, over a fifth of the world's population was confined to their homes. Okay, so it is a little surprise that the COVID-19 pandemic has devastated the travel industry. Global losses for passenger air travel could be as much as 100 billion in 2020, according to the International Air Transport Association, IATA. And also tens of thousands of jobs worldwide remain at risk. I know it's very hard, because many people have become homeless. Many people out there are even lacking the basic necessities of life. So yes, it's very tragic and it's very sad to see this. And it's not just the airlines who are suffering in this industry, it's also the hotels, tour guides, and most importantly, some of the world's biggest travel companies like Expedia or Make My Trip or GoIBIBO have taken a beating over the past few months. And while lockdowns are easing across the world, it will likely be some time before the tourism industry is back to normal. Okay, if indeed it ever is, even if like a vaccine for COVID-19 is found, It could take months for consumers to build up the confidence to hop on a plane or a train and take off. And yeah, for like I myself would hesitate to hop on a plane before a vaccine is found, because I don't want to end up in the quarantine center. Also, meanwhile, researchers have been saying that a second wave of the virus could hit, forcing a return to closed borders, grounded flights, and confinement. Okay, so researchers have been saying that a second wave could be seen, and that means that lockdowns are again going to come into place, and again the industry is going to go down. So this article which I found on the internet, Airbnb founder Brian Chesky had written this on May 5th, 2020, that we don't know exactly when travel will return, and when travel does return, it will look different. Of course, it's going to look different, and also he announced massive job cuts at the firm. So that's really sad to see that lots of people have been losing their jobs. So will travel ever be the same? As states and countries reopen, here are my thoughts on what travel will look like going forward, for better or worse. So okay, the first point is the airport process. Okay, the airports are a vital aspect in traveling. Okay, you need to get into an airport to complete your immigration process, you need to get your boarding pass, you need to get your security check done, then you need to wait at the gate, then you need to hop on your plane, and then you're off for your destination. Okay, so the airport process will be much more complicated and lengthy than it already is, with maybe immunity tests, temperature checks, and possibly vaccine requirements. So these are a few changes that might be incorporated in the airport process. Also, the queue at immigration will be longer than ever before. Okay, immigration is a very important thing that you need to get done before you travel to another country. You know, it's like your country you are leaving records that okay, this guy left the country, and the next country you arrive, they also do the immigration process to register like this guy, okay, he entered my country. So we are already seeing this with countries like China, Singapore, and South Korea, countries that feel like they are on top of their outbreaks. Now, the biggest worry now is new infections coming from outside. Korea is also ordering all persons entering from the US and Europe to isolate for 2 weeks, even if they test negative for COVID-19. Those without a permanent residence are being sent directly to an isolation ward. Also, manufacturers of heat cameras are seeing a spike in demand. Okay, even when lockdowns in Europe are over and we start to travel again, countries will test at border. So this was a line from an article which I read on the internet. And also, if you thought that the line at the JFK John Kennedy Airport, okay, sorry, I forgot the name. And if you thought that the line at JFK immigration control was torturous before, now consider what it will be like as you line up, take a swab test, and wait for the results. So JFK airport has a reputation of a torturous immigration queue, because immigration there is very painful. You need to stand in the line for hours and hours before you actually can leave the airport. So now if you imagine, you have to wait there, you need to complete your immigration, you need to take a swab test and wait for the results. So it's going to be very hectic, and if you are traveling with a good mood to some other country, the mood's going to be spoiled. Also, you'll need more than a passport. Okay, so passports are a proof of the nationality. They prove the country to which you belong. So passports are required. You need to get the visas on the passports so that you can travel to another country. But some countries will not even take the chance of testing at the border, especially if you are coming from an outbreak hotspot. Entrance to the country will be refused unless you have a certificate of immunity due to the fact that you have recovered from an infection or because you have been vaccinated. Wristbands may be available with barcodes, like we have seen in South Korea, like those in the movie Contagion 2, are a very real prospect. Okay, and certainly in the short term, travel will become more defined by purpose. Any business travel will need to be strictly validated, like as an economic activity, with companies coming together and tightening the number of employees who travel for them. Virtual meetings will be taking place. Countries will likely only open their borders where there is a merit and it's safe to let travelers through. This may mean temporary visas and more documentation that you will need to take with you when traveling. Okay, so if you are traveling before this COVID-19 pandemic took place, it was just a matter of visas. You need to get your visas done, and if you have the visa, then you can get to the country, and there's no more documentation that you need. Okay, but now with the COVID-19 pandemic, no countries none of the countries need none of the countries are interested in letting you through. So this may mean that you need more documentation, which you might need to take up when you're traveling, like immunity tests or healthcare certificates, which state what type of disease you had in the past few years, or what disease are you suffering from, have you been vaccinated or not. So these changes might be incorporated. Okay, also travel will have different expensive seasons. A very influential paper from the Imperial College London speculates that governments will need to turn lockdown measures on and off in order to keep demands on healthcare systems at a manageable level. Okay, we're already seeing this on the news in many of the countries that healthcare systems have failed. There are not enough beds for the COVID-19 patients. So as the hospitals are full with COVID-19 patients, so even a normal guy who needs to visit the hospital for a normal test needs to wait for a longer time. So this means that there will be windows of opportunity to travel that last only weeks or even days. So even with airlines desperate to get airborne again, seats will be limited, and we could see dramatic increases in pricing during those windows. Also, many countries in the Caribbean and the Europe are suggesting that you may need to prove your health or immunity upon arrival with virus-free cards and or quarantines. So also, people in Hawaii have already been arrested for violating quarantine rules. Also, I think we need to think about higher cleaning standards right now, and I'm sure we all can get on board with this, opting for airlines or services that have committed to cleanliness. Earlier, we used to look for comfort, but now I think cleanliness will be our first utmost priority. Airlines are already requesting that people wear masks, and it looks like some are temporarily blocking the middle seat. Lyft and Uber will be requiring both passengers and drivers to wear masks, and after every trip, the car needs to be disinfected. So yeah, these are the few changes which we are going to see. So the biggest question that comes to your mind right now will be, how will the recovery be? Like, how is the travel industry going to recover or make a comeback? According to me, I think the recovery will be uneven, because we are already seeing that the factors influencing the pandemic are numerous. And strictness and timings of lockdown measures, robustness of healthcare systems, the weather, luck, and a lot of other factors are all at work. Meaning, some countries and regions will recover first. We will see corridors of recovery open back up one by one. How this will look exactly is difficult to predict, because I don't know how this is going to be. Let me give you a basic example. For example, Italy is days ahead of other European countries when it comes to the extent of its outbreak, because you might be seeing on the news that Italy is the worst affected country. Might this mean it's among the first to reopen its doors, like China? Or will the depth of the nightmare Italy is dealing with mean that they are more reluctant to let foreigners in? So there are two options to this question. Because China was the first country that experienced the outbreak of the coronavirus, and it was the first to reopen its doors to other countries. Okay, China started air travel between a few countries and also inside its own country. And China was the main supplier of protective equipments to other countries who were suffering a lot from this. So there are two options to this. It can be that Italy might be the first country to reopen its doors, or it may be the depth of the night where Italy is dealing with mean that they are more reluctant to let foreigners in. Also, right now when you will be hearing this podcast, so all of you know that Italy has already started easing lockdowns, and inside the country everything is getting back to normal, but I don't think yet they have started international air travel, or they have opened up their borders to other countries. Europe has been recovering a lot. So this example is not related to the current situation, because in the current situation, Europe, most of the European countries have recovered, and countries like America and China are right now suffering. So this was just a basic example which I gave to just let you guys know how is this going to work, How is the recovery going to be? Like, how is it going to be uneven? And it's true that I see that some countries and regions will recover first, that as we saw how the European countries have recovered first, and some Asian countries like South Korea and Japan, who still have a few positive cases and few active cases in the country right now, but they are recovering. But on the other hand, countries like America and India, who have a large population, have not yet recovered and are yet to reach their peaks. So we might see corridors of recovery open back up one by one. And the next point that I would like to speak about is the luggage that everyone packs while traveling. Okay, every traveler has a luggage in which he or she packs different things, whether it be clothes or camera gear if you are a blogger or a YouTuber who likes to make videos or capture photographs. And you might carry a lot of different things like healthcare essentials, lifestyle essentials. So now packing will be a lot different, like you'll pack very differently. So recently I saw the TikTok video of a man taking out a bag of wet wipes and thoroughly wiping down his table and seat before sitting down for takeoff. Well, it could be something you start to see in the flesh, even if it's not to that comedic extent. We are being directed to wash our hands, and the only way to do that when on the move is with the hand sanitizer. We may well see the relaxing of liquid carry-on restrictions as travelers want to take more than 100 ml, especially on long haul flights. Along with hand sanitizers, travel packs, it's a pretty easy prediction to make that a lot more people will travel with masks. In the same way that companies like Away have made luxury fashionable travel baggage, we will most likely see desirable travel masks worn by Instagram influencers in the coming few days. Also, society won't like you when you're sick. Even those who have recovered from COVID-19 and have built up immunity won't be able to travel with a cold. The current situation and the conviction with which the world is adopting social distancing, I think it will make it socially unacceptable to travel with a cold or any kind of similar symptoms. Because the looks you will get if you cough or sneeze at an airport or on a plane will be scathing. I think the social stigma will put a lot of people off, resulting in the potential for more no-shows on travel days, once the prices are stable, of course. Also, I think you'll take the train before the plane. Of course, domestic travel will recover first because there's no border control. And for most countries, that means taking a train. Not only will be able to get back on tracks first, but we'll also be more secure about it, you know. The trains, because trains are less crowded, have their windows open, and also are much more environmentally friendly. Once the lockdowns start to ease down, I think maybe people will be preferring roadways or roadways more, because it will be the best for them, because it will be like you can follow all the social distancing norms if you travel by the road or the train. Also, once the lockdowns we see in Europe now are lifted, I predict people will rush to take a train just because they can. And I think I foresee outdoor trips and road trips being huge. I love that for all of us. I mean, this eliminates the long airport process and obviously reduces the amount of people you will come into contact with along the way. However, there's the issue of potentially spreading a dormant virus to rural communities, of course, with who have smaller healthcare infrastructure. With that being said, I think local and regional travel will see a boost. There are so many gems in our backyards which we have not explored yet. Overall, I hope we can all be intentional about supporting small tourism businesses that will have suffered greatly due to this pandemic. It would also be quite interesting to see how restaurants, theme park, cruises, etc. adapt. It's estimated the travel industry will lose out nearly $400 billion this year. That's a lot. That's a huge amount. And also, I think the next thing that we might see after the COVID pandemic ends is touchless travel. Okay, this topic is very, very important, and I think this is going to be followed on. The most immediate and perhaps most visible change will be a shift to touchless travel from airport curbside to hotel check-ins. Even with like cleaning protocols in place or exchanging travel documents, touching surfaces through check-in, security, border control and boarding, still they represent a significant risk of infection for both travelers and staff. I think automation will be the next new travel because automation across the entire sector will become the new norm. Because biometrics are already a widely accepted solution for identity verification, and their use will become more widespread as physical fingerprint and hand scanners are phased out. Also, more touchless options will come into play, including contactless fingerprint as well as iris and face recognition. Moreover, technology for touchless data entry, such as gesture control, touchless document scanning, and voice commands, are already being tested right now. Also, care must be taken to ensure these technologies are inclusive and to eliminate the risk of potential biases. And in the end, I think collaboration is going to be the key, because in this time of unprecedented change, governments and industry have a unique opportunity to redefine travel and build a more sustainable, agile, and resilient industry. And this will not be possible without collaboration. In the near term, stakeholders will need to cooperate to accelerate the use of digital technologies. Next, they will need to develop a cohesive policy and legal regime around the deployment of digital technologies that balance the protection of civil liberties and public health. The third challenge is to ensure that different digital identity solutions can operate together. The role of organizations such as the World Health Organization, the International Civil Aviation Organization, and the International Air Transport Association will be critical to align health and aviation priorities, guidelines, and policies. Also, I don't know what the government or these private institutions will be doing, but I think it's time for all the people to come back, join hands, and support this industry. Because, you know, as soon as we support the industry will make a stronger comeback in the coming days, the coming months. And I think we need to join hands, because support is the most important thing. And if we support and boost up this industry, I think it is going to be great. Hey there everyone, this is your host Moinak. A big thank you to all of you for listening to this podcast. If you like this episode, please subscribe and follow us. Also, please share this podcast with your friends, family and relatives and all the strangers around so that even they can get a closer look at this topic. Till then, take care, stay safe, goodbye.